welcome to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning. If you could all please find your seat. Such a beautiful, beautiful thing to see you all welcoming and fellowshipping. That's what church is all about. Happy Pentecost Sunday, happy Memorial Weekend, lots of things to celebrate this morning. If you could, we are going to start with a reading of the Word this morning, our Pentecost Sunday scriptures. I'll be sharing from the Old and the New Testament before we hear our message today. So if you could, follow along on the screen or open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and in the birds and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Second reading is from Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Wonderful. Well, I love to hear the word of God read out loud. Powerful passages there that we looked at on this Pentecost Sunday. This is a Sunday that we celebrate the Pentecost that happened in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. And it's just wonderful timing for us as we're in the second part of our message series on the Holy Spirit called Encounter. Pastor Joe kicked us off last week, and this is our second message and our last message before this coming Saturday when we have our Holy Spirit encounter right here in this building. Well, I want to just quickly review Pastor Joe's message from last week. He answered five very important questions about the Holy Spirit, five very important basic questions that help give us a full understanding of the Holy Spirit. The first one is this: is the Holy Spirit God? Secondly, is the Holy Spirit available to all Christians? Is he available to all Christians? Can the Holy Spirit be with us, in us, and upon us? Number four, does the Holy Spirit empower us to live the Christian life? And number five, does our faith rest on the power of the Holy Spirit? The answer to all five of these very important questions is yes. The scriptures are there for you. If you haven't heard Pastor Joe's message, I want to encourage you to go back to last week on our YouTube channel. You can watch that message, and you can actually download the notes for yourself. And I want to encourage you to take advantage of that. Well, as I was preparing for this message today, I was looking back, studying the Holy Spirit, and I have a study Bible, an NIV study Bible that was given to me in 1992. That I still use to this day. I've had it recovered a few times, and it's just my favorite Bible. It's just my sturdy go-to Bible. And so I was looking through there, and it's the one I take notes in, and I found this note that is from page 1639, the end of the book of John. And if you can focus in on this note there, it's the Holy Spirit track. It's the Holy Spirit track, and it's from Pastor Joe Martin in 2002. Yeah. I was sitting in the very seat you're sitting in and taking notes on the Holy Spirit, learning about the Holy Spirit, learning how to have a walk with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that Pastor Joe brought out that I'd really never seen before is that it's Jesus in Matthew 3:11, it's Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Now, if you're a believer and you come to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you should be water baptized, and another believer can water baptize you. We, Pastor Robert Sherman at our church, he does all the water baptisms because he's so holy. But you could yourself, if you're a believer, you could baptize another believer. And that's important, and that's very much a part of who we are as Christians. But Jesus says, the Bible tells us that John the Baptist said that Jesus is coming, and when he does, he's gonna baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one that baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. So we're on solid ground. If you say, man, Derek, I'd like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're on really solid ground because Jesus is the one who oversees that. Jesus is the one who has put that in motion for us. So just a few things to establish. I'm going to talk to you about Peter's encounter with the Holy Spirit today. I want to talk to you about how Peter, the Apostle Peter, I want to look through his story and how he encountered the Holy Spirit, because it's similar to my story and how I encountered the Holy Spirit. There's some parallels, and there may be some parallels there for you as you're looking to try to understand this whole person of the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity. Who really is this? And so we're going to take a look at Peter's story, and we're going to look, and the first thing we want to do is make sure that we have the proper perspective on the Holy Spirit. What's your perspective on the Holy Spirit? If you and I start with the wrong perspective on the Holy Spirit, it's very difficult to have a full understanding of him. Just like, for example, if we start with the wrong perspective on who Jesus is, we have a very difficult time understanding. Let me illustrate it this way. If you took two lasers, and we took those two lasers and we pointed them side by side at the same target in the back of the room, and they hit that target perfectly, that's amazing. Let's say that's God's will. But if we took one of those and we slightly got it off track, it's just barely off the target, just barely, and it's pointed at the back of the room, you would look and say, well, it's just barely missing. There's not much there. But if we move that wall further back and further back, the distance between those two laser points gets larger and larger and larger and larger, till eventually, if you move it far enough back, theoretically, it goes all the way around and comes up on the other side. So you're at totally the wrong place. Wow. So just so that we have a proper understanding of the Holy Spirit, I want to start by looking at a story in Jesus's life that illustrates this. In Mark chapter 6, starting in verses 1-5, here's what the scripture says. Jesus is going to Nazareth, his hometown. He's coming back home for homecoming. It's homecoming week, puts his letter jacket on. He's coming back home. Here's what happens. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Now watch this, verse 3. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own town. And then watch this, verse 5. He could not do any miracles except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Jesus is amazed at their lack of faith. He can't do but a few miracles there because watch this. The people that grew up with Jesus, they looked at him and they made a true assumption and a true statement about him. They said, wait a minute, we know this guy. We know his mom. We know his brothers. We know his sister. In fact, someone said, I grew up in synagogue with this guy. I went to school with this guy. We worked together on this carpenter project. They knew Jesus and they said, wait a minute, we know him. That's a true statement. But it's only half the truth. It's not the whole truth about who Jesus is. It's not the whole truth. And because they acted on a half-truth, because they acted on a half-truth instead of the whole truth, the people here took offense at Jesus. Jesus is our king. He's the Messiah. He's come to give us saving grace and saving words. And here, because they saw Jesus as a half-truth, because that's all they saw of Jesus, these people took offense at Jesus. And because they only accepted half of who Jesus was, Jesus couldn't do miracles there. And because they saw him incorrectly, Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. See, it didn't take faith for them to see him as the carpenter's son, but it does take faith to see him as the King of Kings, as he said when he read through from Isaiah and said, this scripture is now fulfilled in front of you. I am the one. But they didn't have the faith to accept that because they saw the half-truth of Jesus. Here's the point. If you make a half-truth the whole truth, it becomes an untruth. With any principle in the scriptures, if you make a half-truth the whole truth, it becomes an untruth. This is what happened to the people in Nazareth. They looked at Jesus and they had made a half-truth the whole truth, and so they had an untruth. They couldn't accept who Jesus was. They rejected him as the Messiah. They couldn't connect to him saying that I am the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. They could not hear it. They accepted, they were acting on a half-truth, and it was an untruth. If your perspective only allows you to see Jesus as another human being, then you limit him as your Savior and Lord. We're wrestling with this today, aren't we? People say, well, Jesus, we know he was a historical character. That's a historical fact. But he was just a good teacher. He was just a good prophet. He went around and did really good stuff. He was a nice guy. That's only half the truth. That's not the whole truth. C.S. Lewis, in his famous work, Mere Christianity, this is his whole thesis behind the book. He says, the Bible does not allow us to see Jesus as a half-truth. It doesn't give us that option. He's either fully God and fully human, our Savior, or he's a liar. Yeah, that's right. Boy, that second category didn't sound very appealing to me, does it? He's either fully God and fully man, or he's a lunatic because that's what he said about himself. So if you and I struggle with the Holy Spirit the same way, for example, here's another statement. If your perspective only allows you to see the Holy Spirit as an abstract, silent member of the triune God, then you limit him as the one who empowers you. Just as the people of Nazareth limited Jesus and what he could do there, you and I, maybe we could limit the Holy Spirit in how he wants to empower us, in the work that he wants to do through us and in us, if we have a half-truth perspective about the Holy Spirit. Fortunately, the scriptures in the Old and New Testament give us the full counsel of who the Holy Spirit is. So we started that last week with the questions that Pastor Joe answered, and I want to take a look at that through Peter's story, Peter's encounter with the Holy Spirit. Here we go. In John chapter 18, some of these scriptures aren't going to come up because I'm just going to tell you the story. In John chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, the disciples, this is after Christ has died, after his resurrection. This is before his death, before his resurrection. This is at the point where the soldiers are looking for him. The religious leaders are coming to find Jesus, and they want to arrest him. This is what's happening in this story. He's in the garden praying with his disciples. It's very, very early in the morning. It's dark. And the soldiers come and they ask the question, which one of you are Jesus? Where's Jesus? Jesus steps forward and says, I am he. He correctly identifies himself. Now remember, Jesus knows that they're coming to arrest him, to take him and kill him. He knows that. He's under the threat of death. He's asked who he is. Jesus steps forward and says, I am he. It's me. They ask again, just for clarity's sake, so there's no mistake here. Jesus said, I'm the one you're looking for. It's me. They ask a third time. It's three times recorded in the scriptures. Jesus says, I am he. So just a few verses later, the same scenario happens for Peter, our example here, the one that we're studying today. Peter has this encounter where he's sitting by a fire that same morning. Jesus has been arrested. He's sitting by the fire, and a teenage girl approaches him. And she says, wait a minute, I recognize you. Aren't you one of those disciples? Aren't you one of those guys that hangs around Jesus real close? Aren't you a Christ follower? And Peter says this, I am not. Jesus said, I am he. Peter says, I am not, under a much less threat of just association with Jesus. Jesus was threatened with death, makes a correct identification. Peter is threatened with just associating with Jesus, being associated with him, and he says, I am not. And a few moments later, another person comes up to Peter and says, wait a minute, I heard you talking earlier. You're from West Texas. You're from Hickville. You've got a funny accent. You're from Galilee. So we know you're one of those dudes that's with Jesus. Peter says, I am not, a second time. I am not, with the strange accent that he has from Galilee. He denies it. A third time, he's questioned and said, wait a minute, we know. Peter says, no, I am not. What's the difference between Jesus and Peter here? It's not, I want to submit this to you, it's not that Jesus is calling upon angels to answer for him, though he could have done that. It's not that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and sitting at the right hand of Jesus and the right hand of the Father and using his power as the divine King of the universe. It's not that, because he's laid that down. The difference here between Peter and Jesus is that Jesus has the ability to speak Holy Spirit language. Yeah. Right. Jesus speaks Holy Spirit language. Jesus can give a full answer for the kingdom. This is what the Holy Spirit language means, that you have the ability to speak the whole truth about the kingdom of God, the whole truth. This is what got the Old Testament prophets in trouble in the Old Testament. When the Spirit of God would come upon the prophets, they now had the ability to speak Holy Spirit language. They would speak out the full truth of God, and the people generally didn't like it because they preferred a half-truth about God, the half where they didn't have to do anything, the half where they didn't have to repent, the half where they didn't have to change their lifestyle, the half where they don't have any responsibility. That's the half that they like. But when the prophets came and gave the full counsel of God's kingdom, they didn't like it, and they killed most of the prophets.
Right.
Not a good occupation to be in, Old Testament prophet.
Right.
Most of them didn't last very long because they gave the full truth, the full gospel. And so here we have Peter's failure. He fails to speak Holy Spirit language. But then something happens. Peter now has three encounters with the Holy Spirit after this failure. Three significant encounters that are recorded in the scriptures, and we're going to take a look at each one of them today. The first one is in John 20, 21 through 23. Now, this is after Jesus' death. Jesus has died. He's been resurrected. He's in his resurrection body. The disciples are scared. They're kind of locked up in a place hiding. Jesus comes among them to give them some instruction, and we have it recorded in John chapter 20, verse 21 says this, and Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the disciples, Peter's there. He's part of this. Jesus breathes on Peter and says, receive the Holy Spirit. This is the first encounter that Peter has with the Holy Spirit after his failure. And then the second one is in Acts chapter 1. Looking at Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. This is the opening of the book of Acts. And the author, Luke, says this. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven. Now watch this. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. When Jesus teaches and gives instruction to his apostles, to the disciples, he does it through the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself, the Son of God, says that when I teach, I do it through the Holy Spirit. So Peter is there, he's listening to all of this, and then later it goes on, and Jesus explains these instructions that he's giving. In the same chapter, in verse 5, it says that the gift of the Father, the promise that the Father gave in the Old Testament, in the prophet of Joel, is coming. You will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the gift. It's coming. And then he says in verse 8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Peter's there, he's hearing this, when it comes upon you, you're going to receive power. So what happened is they were having a Holy Spirit encounter. Jesus was the teacher. He was instructing them on what the Holy Spirit was going to do. We're going to do the same thing on Saturday. The same scenario is going to happen where we're going to learn some instructions about the Holy Spirit, just like the disciples did. If they need to be instructed by Jesus about the Holy Spirit, we probably do as well. So this is what happens in Peter's second encounter with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, they receive these instructions. And that power that they receive, the Bible says what it is. It's the power to be a witness. The power to be a witness. Jesus says this, look, wait in Jerusalem. Don't start your ministry yet. Don't start ministering. Wait until you receive the power to be a witness. Now, this is not saying that now that you have the power, you can take a soapbox and stand it up at New York Times Square and start preaching the gospel and yelling at people. That's not what this is talking about. Power to be a witness means that you now have the power, you now have the power to think kingdom thoughts. You now have the power to say kingdom things. You now have the power to live a kingdom life on earth. A life that's such a witness that when other people see it, they say, he's got something. She is walking in a power that she didn't have before. There's something there that has been deposited there. There's a kingdom power that allows that person to live as a consistent witness of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what happens to Peter at his second encounter. And then look at his third encounter, Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They, being the disciples, Peter's there. He's a part of this. They're all together in one place. All of them, it says in verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Watch this, as the Spirit enabled them. As the Spirit of God enabled. Not as they mustered up the strength. Man, we're just going to do this. I heard a TED talk and I'm going to prove my life. No, none of that. As the Spirit of God enabled them. As the Spirit came upon them and filled them. Is what the Bible says. They were enabled to speak in other tongues. They'd never done this before. They'd never been a part of this before. This is an amazing new experience. Peter has this. This is the third encounter he has with the Holy Spirit after his denial. And then watch what happens in Acts chapter 2. Peter now has something that he's never had before. There's a deposit in Peter's life. There's something activated in him that has never been activated like this before. And Peter gets up and he preaches the first sermon of the New Testament church in Acts 2, verses 14 through 41. And in this passage, we're not going to read it all. We're not going to look at it all, but I want to give you a few highlights because something has radically changed with Peter. Remember, 50 days ago from this point, 50 days earlier, he was confronted by a teenage girl in front of a fire that was happening. She saw him and said, "You're one of those guys." And he said, "I am not." Three times he said, "I am not." It's only 50 days later, and now Peter gets up to give this sermon. And he says this, the apostles have spoken in tongues, and there is this swirl that's happening in Jerusalem. And Peter gets up and he says, "Let me explain this to you." Yeah. Where did Peter get this explanation? There's no teaching on that. Where did this come from? All of a sudden, Peter jumps up and says, "I'm going to explain what's going on here to you." Everybody knew something was happening. Yeah. Whether or not your theology allowed for it or not, everybody knew something was happening. Even those opposed to the disciples knew that something was happening. Yeah. Peter said, "Let me explain this to you." And then the second thing he says this is, Peter gets real serious here. He says, looking at the crowd, "You, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross." That's what Peter says to the crowd. Now, look, the church is trying to get off the ground. It's the first church meeting. This is not seeker-sensitive message here from Peter. I mean, Peter's looking at the crowd and said, you bunch of wicked people, you're the ones that put him on the cross. I mean, that I'm sure it'd be very encouraging. If you're sitting in the crowd, you hear Peter say this. Peter is now speaking Holy Spirit language. Look at the next thing Peter says. He says, "God raised this Jesus, whom you crucified, and we're all witnesses of this fact." All of us are witnesses. We saw this happen. And then the next statement, Peter says this, "Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this." Let everybody know. Look, there's no doubt about this. Here's what Peter says. "God, who made this Jesus, whom you crucified," I mean, he's just going to keep rubbing the salt in. He's going to keep saying, "You people did this. You crucified him. He is both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, "Brother, what shall we do?" That's right. "Hey, Peter, you can stop the sermon. We get it. We're in. Just tell us where to write. How much do we write the check for and who do we send it to?" Yeah. We are in. Peter preached this message with such anointing, with such Holy Spirit language, that the crowd of people from all over the world, 15 different nationalities that we know of that are recorded in the book of Acts, are listening to Peter, and they all get it. Everyone understands in their own tongue. Everybody knows what's happening. Yeah. Everyone. And Peter says, they all say to Peter, "Hey, just tell us what to do." So here's what Peter says. I want you to do four things. Peter says this, "I want you to repent, you dirty sinners." Peter, man, this is a different dude. Peter says, "You all need to repent." That's right. Every stinking one of you. Right. And then he says this, "Be water baptized. Come and meet with Pastor Robert. Let him hold you under the water. Be water baptized." That's what Peter says. You need to be water baptized. Number three, he says this, "Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Amen. Peter tells everybody in the crowd, "Hey, look, this happened to me. I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and now I want this for you." This is why we're having the encounter Holy Spirit seminar with Pastor Joe on Saturday. Peter says, "I want this for you. It's now available to you." He says, "Receive the gift." And then lastly, number four, Peter says this, "Be added to the church." And the Bible says that 3,000 were added to their number that day. What's the difference? What is the difference in Peter? 50 days earlier, we know exactly how many days earlier. 50 days ago, Peter was denying that he even was associated with Jesus to to a teenage girl. He was denying it. He couldn't even correctly identify that he was in Christ. He completely denied it. And now 50 days later, Peter gets up, he preaches this message that's so powerful that people just stop and say, we got it. Just tell us what to do and we'll do it. Yeah. And 3,000 people from all different parts of the planet, 15 different nationalities, respond to this message. What's the difference in Peter? Did he get a quick 50-day seminary degree? Did someone come in and disciple him in all these truths and he studied really hard for 50 days and he figured it out? No. None of that's the case. Peter is now speaking Holy Spirit language. Just as Jesus said that I give instructions to the Holy Spirit, now Peter is enabled to instruct with Holy Spirit language. Remember in John 20, Jesus breathed on Peter and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter did. And then in Acts 1, Peter's instructed to wait in Jerusalem. Hear this. Jesus says to Peter and the disciples, wait in Jerusalem. Don't start your ministry yet, because if you start now, you'll mess it up. If you get going without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the anointed power of the Holy Spirit on your life, you will use the arm of the flesh to try to advance the kingdom, and you'll do what Peter did. Remember, he picked up the sword, and he cut off the soldier's ear when they were trying to arrest Jesus. Peter said, I'm taking over here. Yeah. I'm going to use the arm of the flesh, and it didn't work, and Jesus rebuked him and healed the man. Yeah. This is why Jesus said, wait. Wait until you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then you can begin your ministry. And then in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost came, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. Now, let me tell you what I'm not saying today. Let me tell you what I'm not saying. Being filled with the Holy Spirit did not make Peter, number one, it didn't make him a super apostle. It did not make Peter a super apostle. It did not even make him a super Christian. Being filled with the Holy Spirit does not make you and I a super Christian. Number two, it added nothing to his salvation. Being filled with the Holy Spirit had nothing to do with Peter's salvation, just as the same with you and I. I believe that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he's the one who saves us because he died on the cross for us. Nor does it propel him to instant maturity. People used to think, man, if I get filled with the Holy Spirit, now I'm instantly mature in Christ. And that is not true. Yeah. It is not true. Number three, it did not make him immune from temptation. He could still be tempted. Now he's empowered, but he could still be tempted. Nor did it replace his need for the spiritual disciplines. When you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean that, wow, I don't get to read my Bible anymore. It doesn't mean I don't have to have a prayer time anymore. It didn't do any of those things, but here's what it did do. The baptism with the Holy Spirit did make Peter, number one, it empowered him to be a witness. It empowered him to live in such a way that people said, what's going on with you? It's empowered him to live in such a way that when he's asked if he's a Christ follower, now he can say, yes, not only am I a Christ follower, but you need to do what I do, be water baptized. You need to repent of your sins. You need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you need to be added to the church. That's what I did. That's what all my friends are doing, and that's what I'm telling you to do. Number two, it enabled him to speak in other tongues. Peter was supernaturally enabled to speak in other tongues by the Holy Spirit himself, by the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, what we're talking about this morning, number three, Peter was equipped to speak Holy Spirit language. A Holy Spirit language that was so anointed that everyone in the crowd responded. He was able to speak Holy Spirit language. Here's my big question, my closeout for you this morning. Here's the big question. Is an encounter with the Holy Spirit available for you? Is there an encounter that the Holy Spirit wants to have with you? Is there an encounter similar to what Peter experienced? Is there an encounter that the Holy Spirit wants to have in your life? When I was in fifth grade, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and it stuck. When I was in seventh grade, I was water baptized and it stuck. I really was never insecure in my faith. But when I got to college and I learned for the first time the full truth about the Holy Spirit, the full gospel of the Holy Spirit, the full understanding of the Holy Spirit, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time in my life, and it has marked me to this very day. This very day, just like Peter, I had a similar experience to Peter. The similar thing happened to me, not exactly the same way. And when we looked at the book of Acts, there's five different ways that the Holy Spirit comes upon people. And it's almost as if God says, look, you're not gonna put this in a box. This is a third part of me. This is a part of who I am, the Holy Spirit's expression of God on earth. You will not be able to put a formula to this thing. And so it happened to me. And what we want at Trinity, we wanna make sure that we give the full truth about the Holy Spirit. The full truth, the full gospel, the full teaching about the Holy Spirit so that you can engage and have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. So I wanna encourage every one of you, how many of you this morning, you know I wanna have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Raise your hands if you wanna, you know it. You wanna have an encounter. Look at it all across the room. Keep your hands up. All across the room, people wanna have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Now here's what I want you to do. Register for the Holy Spirit encounter this coming Saturday. I want you to get registered, go online, sign up. Pastor Joe's got some fabulous notes that they're gonna be, that we're gonna come, we're all gonna get together here in this room. We're gonna have some teaching on the Holy Spirit. He's gonna instruct us. We're gonna look at the Holy Spirit. You can even ask questions about things that you've always wondered about. We're gonna engage with that, and then you're gonna have an opportunity to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I've had that encounter. Pastor Joe's had that encounter. The disciples had that encounter. There's a biblical precedence for what we're talking about here, and we just wanna make sure that it's fully available to you. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that, God, you've made it available to us, the gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that you've saved us on the cross through Christ, but then you are working and moving on the earth today through the anointing, through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, I thank you for this. I ask that you would reveal yourself this Saturday at our encounter. Lord, I ask that even today, that there'll be many who respond even today. Father, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Matthew.
Fantastic word. Thank you so much. Let's all stand up together, Trinity Church. Are you glad you came to church today? Well, it was a great Sunday, and it's going to be a great Saturday, next Saturday. Be sure and register, sign up for that. Also, a reminder, next Sunday, if you're hungry and you've never been to the Newcomer's Lunch, register for that. We got your kids taken care of next door. We want to enjoy a meal with you and help you get to know Trinity Church a little bit better. And before you walk out the doors, let's just remember, as a nation, tomorrow is Memorial Day. We pause, we remember, we acknowledge those who gave the ultimate sacrifice to protect our nation, provide us freedoms. And many of you served in the armed forces, have friends, loved ones that gave their lives. And we remember you today, tomorrow as well, and that you lost loved ones, people you cared for. So at 3:00, as our custom as a nation, we pause for a moment of silence. Remember to do that tomorrow on Memorial Day. And with that said, God bless you. We love you. We're grateful for you. If you need prayer from a pastor, a leader here, we're available at the front. We want to meet with you. If you can't wait till Saturday, come. We want to meet with you right here up front. But have a wonderful rest of your Memorial Day weekend. We'll see you next Sunday, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give to partner with what God is doing through Trinity Dallas.